from the raunchy Super Bowl halftime show to talk of coming revival. We've got it covered.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is it true that the Kansas City Chiefs' victory, their Super Bowl victory, their first Super Bowl victory in 50 years, is it true that there's a prophetic sign attached to this promising revival? Could it be so? You say, what? Well, we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about the raunchy halftime show and some lessons from that and a whole lot more. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Great to start the week together with you here. I will be, God willing, live from Vero Beach, Florida tomorrow. If you live anywhere near Vero Beach, join me for a special meeting Tuesday night there. And then in Orlando for a special Together for Israel conference through this coming weekend. But phone lines are open right now, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I'll tell you more a little bit later in the show about this prophetic word about when Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, all right, spoken some years back. And we'll talk about that and how we evaluate these kinds of things. But first, I want to focus on something else. There's a lot of outrage. There's a lot of shock. There's a lot of anger over the latest NFL halftime show. So Jennifer Lopez and Shakira performing, obviously chosen as Latinas, and the event happening in Miami, and that's certainly positive in that respect, but there's a lot of outrage over the nature of the show, the sexually explicit nature of it, the grabbing of certain body parts, the pole dance and things like that. And people saying, this is primetime TV. What in the world are we doing? What is the NFL thinking? What is Pepsi, who sponsored this? What are they thinking? This is primetime TV. Watched by tens of millions of people, including many, many children and many, many families. People are shocked. People are outraged. Now, I agree, without having watched the show, right, and just read excerpts and things like that, but I agree that it's appalling. I agree that it's outrageous. I agree that it's inappropriate, of course. But what surprises me is that people are surprised. Hasn't this been going on regularly? When it was announced that J-Lo and Shakira would be performing, for those at all familiar with them, did we think they were going to be singing opera? I mean, what were people expecting was going to happen? But hang on. I am no expert on the halftime shows, because if we do watch the Super Bowl together as a family, it's just been our custom for many, many years to turn it off and put it back on a half hour later, so to skip the halftime show. But when Madonna appeared, was her show family-friendly? Or Beyonce? Or Britney Spears? I just went online earlier today and went through the various halftime shows, and things have changed a lot. I mean, the first few were just marching bands. Think of that. And then marching bands, then you'd have someone like Doc Severinsen, his famous trumpet player on the Johnny Carson show, you know, led the band there. Or Carol Channing, who I'm sure was not sexually gyrating during her show. You had another, you know, marching band, and then you'd have George Burns and Mickey Rooney, famous comedians, funny men, whatever their performance was. And then as it went on, at a certain point, you then had Michael Jackson. Wonder what lines were crossed with that. Then you had the famous Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake one. That's 16 years ago, the famous wardrobe malfunction. And there's hot debate and discussion as to whether it was a malfunction at all, whether it was intentional. That happened. And then the other shows with the people with all of their sexual and sensual displays, why are we surprised? Now here, there's a great quote from Franklin Graham, and I completely agree with him. He said, I don't expect the world to act like the church, but our country's had a sense of moral decency on primetime television in order to protect children. We see that disappearing before our eyes. He said it was demonstrated tonight in the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show. With millions of children watching, This exhibition was Pepsi showing young girls that sexual exploitation of women is okay. With the exploitation of women on the rise worldwide, instead of lowering the standard, we as a society should be raising it. Now look, I agree that in particular, in this Me Too culture, in the culture now where we become aware of accused sexual predators like Bill Cosby or Harvey Weinstein or Jeffrey Epstein or others, and more reports of women being sexploited, just used as sexual objects and things like that, that it is all the less appropriate to celebrate women as sex objects. And remember, both of these women are moms, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, one 50, the other 43. And I would imagine they're very devoted moms. And they may be very nice in many ways and involved in good causes, whatever the case is. I'm not demonizing them. I'm simply saying that this is the wrong time of all in our culture to be making women just into sexual objects and to have such vivid displays. I mean, pole dancing? Are you kidding me? One concerned mother put it like this. The language is pretty strong. The FCC still has rules about decency on network television between certain hours when children are watching. It is well established that children are watching during the Super Bowl. I had to send mine out of the room as soon as Jennifer Lopez took the stage in what looked like a two-sided thong and buttless chaps. The camera work was outrageously gross. Zoom app, read enough there. Read enough. You get the picture. But so I totally agree with her concern and her sending kids out of the room. But what else were you expecting? And hang on. Doesn't the NFL have cheerleaders? Aren't these some of the most scantily clad gals out there? And aren't their performances very sexual in many, many ways? And isn't that just an accepted and expected part of the game? Shouldn't we be outraged in a little broader, more holistic way? And hang on, let's step back for another second. What about all the music videos? With the crotch grabbing and all this stuff that Michael Jackson popularized and Madonna followed suit with it, and others, is reading an article earlier saying, where did all this come from? How long have kids been watching this on MTV and on the many, many, many other music video outlets now that have, I guess MTV does what, more reality TV stuff? I haven't followed it in years and years in terms of tracking what they're doing. But they were the pioneers. Now there's just so many other places kids can watch and everything on YouTube and so on. It's been bad for years and years and years. And little children are watching this. I remember talking to a family member, and he was talking about a niece through another part of his family, and she was 5 years old, and he said that she had this one Beyonce song down. I mean, it was pretty sensual moves. She could do it perfectly, dance and follow. Of course, she had no idea what the moves meant, but you got little kids watching this stuff. Plenty of preteens cut their teeth watching MTV. So the type of stuff, again, if I understand rightly what happened at Super Bowl yesterday, that type of stuff and much worse has been going on, and kids watching it at all hours of the day with music TV, with other types of videos and things like that. Why in the world are we so shocked? Why are we so outraged? Yes, we should be outraged because these things are so blatantly wrong and blatantly perverse and blatantly degrading. Yeah, I'm sure the performers are very gifted and very talented, but there are other ways to show off your gifts and your talent. I'm sure there are people that crack safes, break into houses, that are very gifted and talented. I'm sure there are people that are assassins for a living that are very gifted and talented. I'm sure there are porn stars that are very gifted and talented. I'm sure there are the con man liars that are very gifted and talented. You can be gifted and talented in many ways, but a lot of those gifts and talents are not healthy gifts and talents. My point is that we should have woken up to this decadence years and years and years ago. Now is not the time for shock and outrage. Now is the time for self-examination. Now is not the time to be pointing a finger. How could they do that and say, well, how could we let it happen so many years? And look, I understand that we are going to be looked at as the puritanical legalists. We're going to be looked at as the old fogies, Number one, God's ways are best, and I never have to apologize for that ever, ever, ever. Number two, I absolutely know that those that go the way of the flesh and go the way of sexual exploitation and go the way of sexual performances, in the end, will not be happy with it. And those that indulge in it, in the end, will not be happy with it. But number three, I realize it's our role in culture to be salt and light. It's our role in culture to be the moral conscience. You Christians, it's the same old, same old. Yeah, it is. We're bringing the same old message. We're bringing the same old message of repentance, the same old message of holiness, the same old message of purity. Not legalism, not outward religion, not externally imposed standards, but life transformation through encounter with God by grace, where we so love what is good that we hate what is evil, that we so esteem the pure, that we so esteem the beautiful, that we so esteem God's purposes for men and women and for husbands and wives and for sexuality, that we so esteem those things that we recognize the counterfeit as counterfeit, that we recognize the other loves as lesser loves. It's just like for me, being a heavy drug user, shooting heroin, shooting speed, using LSD and every other drug I could get my hands on, it, and loving it and enjoying my drug life and playing drums in a rock band and going to rock concerts and enjoying it. When God began to convict me of my sin, and then when I experienced the love of God and experienced the joy of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord, I trashed all that stuff overnight, and it was easy because of the encounter with Him. So friends, let's examine our own hearts. And those of you who watch the Super Bowl, or like Jeb Bush said, best halftime show ever, and celebrities and politicians and just your average man, woman on the street who said, wonderful. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, examine your heart, because something is very, very wrong. And let us together as God's people get on our faces and say, Lord, we need revival. We need mercy. We need awakening. The fact that we're surprised to see what happened at the Super Bowl, when this has been part of our culture for many, many years, means that many of us are asleep in the light as well. May God awaken us today. All right, needed to get that out. Do you agree with me? You think I'm, by the way, when I ask if you agree, I'm not looking for your approval. I mean, are you hearing me? Are you tracking with me? Or do you think I'm out to lunch? You think I'm totally out of touch with culture and all? I have no idea, just antiquated religion. Give me a call. Let's talk about it. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Hey, listen, I'm not sitting here as some holier-than-thou person that is above temptation, that is above the flesh, that never struggles. I'm saying, hey, we're in a really polluted world, and we really need to be on our guard, and we really need to meet with the Lord to encounter His purity afresh. If we don't, friends, the world is going to change us to the point we don't even recognize ourselves. In a moment, we're going to try to connect with Walker Wildman of the American Family Association. As we're connecting with Walter, let's go to Faye in Faith, North Carolina. Thanks for calling, and please share your heart with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm very much in agreement with your views on the Super Bowl halftime show. I watched the Super Bowl with my children and grandchildren, and it was horribly embarrassing. It was disgusting. It looked like a strip show rather than a family entertainment, and it's just so sad to see that these people who have been given such talent by God think so low to bring that kind of entertainment to us.
Yeah, it is. I mean, our culture is used to it. And, you know, through history, you've had these types of sensual and sexual displays, but you really think it's degrading to the people. It's unimaginable to think of people that you know and love, you know, to your wife, your daughters, your granddaughters, your friend, you know, students in a school, your Christian friend, it's unimaginable to think of people doing things like that. But these are moms and daughters and somebody else's grandchildren doing them. Just a reminder to us that this degrades everyone involved. Hey, thank you for sharing your heart and continue to hold the witness high. But again, friends, what we need to do is make sure that it's not simply a matter of exposing the wrong, but pointing to the right and pointing to the beautiful. And above all, unless people really encounter Jesus afresh, this world is going to change us to the point we lose our convictions, we lose our concerns. We are joined now by Walker Waldman from American Family Association. Walker, thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Dr. Brown, thank you for having me on the show.
Let me ask you a question. I 100% agree with the outrage over the halftime show. What surprises me, though, are people are that people are so surprised because the halftime shows have not exactly been holy for some years now. And then we have the whole culture, you know, with the cheerleaders and the raunchy music videos. To me, it's ugly, it's ridiculous, it's degrading, it's inappropriate, but it's hardly surprising. You guys have been on the front lines of the moral battles for years. What's your take, Walker?
Well, it's definitely not surprising. I mean, this type of obscene halftime show has been going on for years now. Some would even argue it's been going on for over a decade now. But I think what's most frustrating for people who were upset about the halftime show, and I actually cut the TV off. I saw what was coming, and so I cut the TV off during halftime.
Yep.
But I think what's most frustrating is that every year consumers complain about it. I mean, hardly ever see, you know, thousands of people going, yay, great halftime show. I like seeing explicit things on the television. No, everybody goes, that's disgusting. My children were in the living room. I'm embarrassed. But what's frustrating is that the NFL and others don't listen to the consumers.
Right. So you have also been on the front lines of organizing petitions, starting with Don Wildman, Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman now, so the American Family Association, calling people to say, hey, let's unify and let's just share our voice. We're not trying to strong-arm people. We're not trying to force everyone to be Christian, but we're saying, hey, these things offend us, these things concern us, and if you want our business, we're asking you to be sensitive to this as well. Now, there are also concerns with a lot of LGBTQ themes and the commercials and the advertising through the event. That's another thing. But what can Christians do now in an organized way to raise their voice to just help push back against this godless tide in our culture?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to share our voice and our concerns, and whether that's whether we think that's going to have an effect or not is really irrelevant. We should still do it. And one of the ways we've been doing it, for example, just a week ago, we sent an email, we being 1 Million Moms, which is a division of American Family Association.
Right.
1 Million Moms sent an email out asking our supporters to email the NFL and urge them to keep the Super Bowl clean, believe it or not, keep the Super Bowl advertising clean, including the halftime show. And so we did that. We had over 20,000 moms and parents sign that petition. So our voice was heard. They just apparently didn't listen.
Yeah. So where are you going from here? What's your strategy? What's your plan to raise consciousness and to raise a voice of godly protest?
Well, a lot of people are afraid of this word, but the word boycott is really one of the most effective tools that we have left, and we have to be careful with it. There is such thing as too much boycotting.
Correct.
People don't listen to you anymore. But in a sense, we have to boycott on our own terms. So each family is going to have to decide what is enough, what is too much. And if you think about it, consumers all across from all different backgrounds, they boycott for various reasons. If the burger joint messes up your burger three times in a row, well, then you're probably going to boycott that burger joint, at least for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have different, if you buy tennis shoes and they keep tearing up, then you don't buy those tennis shoes anymore. So consumers and Christians, we're just going to have to pick, you know, what we want to watch. And unfortunately, it's getting to the point where a lot of times we might just have to cut the TV off.
Yeah, for sure. And that wouldn't be the end of the world if we stopped watching certain things on computer and cell phone and TV. But, you know, look, even when people post reviews, that's not boycotting, but it is sending out a message. It's saying, hey, I bought this product and it really stunk, and I want to warn others that it's not the way it's posted in the review. It keeps breaking. And then when you read, you know, you're going to buy something and it only has two out of 5-star reviews, and you see 100 1-star reviews saying the product is cheap and doesn't work, well, someone's not going to buy it. So we are making our views known. And again, it's not to strong arm. It's not to force someone and say, you must be Christian. It's simply to say, hey, you are in this for the money. And if you are concerned about our business, then be concerned about what matters to us. Let me ask you one last question. Is say Pepsi, which was responsible for this halftime show, and I'm sure in conjunction with the NFL. So Pepsi and NFL, are they this blind to where so many of us stand, or do they have an agenda to propagate this, or is it just that the world is so worldly that the world loves this? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a combination of the two. I think that the NFL, along with Pepsi, I think there is a cultural agenda here, and that is to push sexually explicit material in front of the consumer's eyes, including people under the age, to push it in front of their eyes to where it becomes normal, to where this type of behavior becomes normal. I think that's when you get into spiritual warfare and the battle we have for the soul of our country. But also, I think that there are people out there who like that kind of thing. I mean, you look at the porn addiction epidemic that we have in our country. There's obviously consumers who like that kind of material. So I think it's a combination of both. It's hard to really nail down, but at the end of the day, Christians have to be on guard about what we're viewing.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing to remind ourselves is it is up to us what we watch and don't watch, what we listen to and don't listen to, what we participate in or not. The world is always going to be worldly. But if we don't raise our voices and take stands, then the world is going to get even more worldly, and then it'll be even harder for us to live out our faith in the midst of this world. Hey, where's the best place for folks to go to follow what the American Family Association is doing?
Yeah, the easiest way to connect with us is just visit our website, afa.net, afa.net. There you can sign up for our emails and stay up to date on all things that we're doing at American Family Association.
Yeah, and I've signed many a petition with joy and said, hey, let's stand together and make a difference. Hey, thanks for weighing in, and keep up the great work. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless.
Sure thing. God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, listen. Don't be discouraged at the worldliness of the world or the sinfulness of sinners. It's always been like that since the fall on one level or another. But be alarmed and concerned that we have fallen as much as we have fallen as a culture in a relatively short period of time, which is why we must have revival. We must have awakening. We must have fresh outpouring. And it must begin with you and with me. And as revival comes to us, as we encounter God afresh, as we turn from sin, as we experience his love and his purity and his holiness, as we hate what is evil and love what is good, and we begin to live out godly lives in front of a dying and lost world, then more and more sinners will get saved. And then more and more cultural awakening will happen. So revival starts with the church, and then it spreads to awakening in the culture. You say it's too late. Ah, stick around. We're going to address that in the next segment right here on The Line of Fire. Is it too late? Or could it be that revival, outpouring, are near? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-8-7-884. We will be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Through the church, I kind of built a great relationship with God, and I've tried to keep that as I've gotten older. And faith is huge for me, just be able to stay on the right track and be able to live life knowing that I can be free, and God will have me, and He'll always accept me.
That was the voice of MVP quarterback, a real phenom, Pat Mahomes, 24 years old. Raised in the faith, known as a strong Christian in terms of his profession. Now, God knows the details of his life. It's always nice to hear that. Listen to what he said about the routine he has and the routine his team has as far as Christian foundations.
The team provides us Bible study every Friday, and that will help us kind of keep up and not lose track of where we're at and with our faith. And then as well as chapel every night before the game, and that's huge for me because it kind of gives me that last touch, I guess you would say, that last thing that can kind of help me know that I can go out there and just play and be myself, and whatever happens, God has my back. Before every game, I walk the field, and I just do a prayer at the goalpost, and I thank God kind of for those opportunities, and I thank God for just letting me be on a stage where I can glorify Him. And I feel like the biggest thing that I pray for is that whatever happens, win or lose, success or failure, that that I'm glorifying Him and doing everything the right way that He wants me to.
Yeah, what a great testimony. And to say, hey, whether I succeed or fail, I want to glorify God and thank Him for these opportunities. And may the Lord keep him and others that are in the public eye in sports that are raised in the Christian faith. May the Lord keep them strong and use them to testify to many, many others. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-8784. Let me also say it's not always about winning or losing, because you have, you know, Tom Brady's great champion winner, and no sense that I have that he's been a believer or glorifies the Lord through what he does. But the thing is that for many of these people, it is their faith that helps them walk the way they do, or strengthens their character, or gives them an extra something. Or either way, they just say, hey, God's given me this opportunity, so if I have fame, I want to use it to glorify Him and to be an example for young people and things like that. So it's always great to see. 866-34-TRUTH. A bunch of calls I want to get to momentarily about the halftime show and other things that we talked about in the first half of the broadcast. But first, the subject of revival. There is a prophetic brother today named Sean Boltz who said that Bob Jones, another prophetic figure, very controversial in many ways, said before his death some years back, when he died about 6 years ago, that according to Sean Boltz, Bob Jones told him at least 10 times that when the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it's going to be a sign that revival is near. Now, bear in mind that the Kansas City Chiefs now went 50 years in between Super Bowls. And it's not to say that God specially ordained their victory or ordained the loss of the San Francisco 49ers, as much as to say that this would be a sign. Quote, end time revival would come after the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. So as we were watching the game, we had this in mind. Now, I want to be totally candid with you. When there were prophetic brothers saying that Donald Trump would be president, a hypercritic contacted me and said, will you brand them as false prophets if Trump is not elected? I said, no, I won't call them false prophets. That would mean they're wolves in sheep's clothing. That would mean they're willful deceivers. But I will say they were wrong, and they prophesied falsely, and they need to do some self-examination, and we need accountability there. And I said to the hypercritic, if Trump, in fact, is elected, which in his mind was an impossibility at that time, will you then acknowledge that they did prophesy truly? Of course, I never heard back from him. So we look at this, and like everything else, we evaluate it, and we test it. We test and evaluate prophetic words, but if this is something that was repeated over and over, Bob Jones to Sean Boltz, if it was repeated over and over, and then the Chiefs win, it's something that was in our minds. And we were talking about it and say, hey, already in our hearts, many of us have felt a fresh stirring. I've felt a change in the wind really in recent months. I'm seeing more hunger for revival, more crying out for revival, more longing for revival, more recognition of the need for revival, more and more churches that are having me out instead of asking me to teach on this subject or this subject and do Q&A, which is great, which I love to do. Just did it this past weekend in a wonderful congregation in St. Louis. But more and more churches saying, could you preach on revival? Could you minister on revival? And then afterwards, we're having extended altar calls and people crying out to God and repenting and getting right with God. Something seems to be stirring. So could it be another sign that revival awakening is coming? Now, for those who say it's too late, America's gone too far. Just look at the halftime show. This is now normal American life. Just recognize we've fallen too far. Let me agree. We're in an urgent moment. We are in an urgent, difficult moment. No question about it. And I believe that we were already under God's judgment. And if God's wrath was poured out in America for 1,000 different reasons, it would be fully justified. But it's not too late. In the 1720s, immediately before the Great Awakening, one pastor, one reverend commenting on the state of Christianity in the colonies said religion lay as it were dying. This is a time that we'd look at as super holy, super committed, super Christian. And yet this reverend said religion lay as it were dying. And then what came? The Great Awakening. After the Revolutionary War, there was a lot of backsliding in America. Around the year 1800, I've read that Chief Justice John Marshall said, Christianity in America, the church, has fallen too far to ever recover. Here, let me read something to you from 1857. This is a description from James Edwin Orr, who is the top evangelical revival scholar of the last generation. He said this, the churches at that time were, hang on one second. I apologize. The churches at that time were becoming worldly and internalized. Boy, I have just about lost my voice for a second here in the midst of a passionate word about revival. All right, while you are listening, I am going to take a water break. And Kai, let's listen to the national anthem as sung by Demi Lovato yesterday at the Super Bowl. Let's take a listen.
Stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watch.
Yeah, what is the state of America today? So back in 1857, describing the situation in America, look at what revival scholar J. Edmund Orr said. The churches at that time were becoming worldly and internalized, and immorality, violent crime, spiritualism, corruption, and atheism were on the rise. Did you get that? Wow. Does that sound familiar? Churches were becoming worldly and internalized. Immorality, violent crime, spiritualism, corruption, atheism were on the rise. And then what happened? The Great Prayer Awakening started in New York City, 1857, 1858, swept America. How about this? April 8th, 1966, Time magazine, stark front cover, and for the first time without a picture of any kind, just words, is God dead? April 8th, 1966, right in the midst of the counterculture revolution. 5 years later, June 21st, 1971, Time cover story, featured a picture of Jesus kind of looking like a hippie with the caption, "The Jesus Revolution." Friends, it's not too late. It's an urgent time, but it's not too late. Putting aside the prophecy about the Chiefs winning, putting all that aside, I'm telling you, there's been a fresh stirring I've been experiencing. I've been seeing it. I'm seeing it in my own life. I'm seeing it in the lives of leaders. I'm hearing more and more. It's almost as if God himself is saying enough is enough. As if God is saying things are so bad, I've got to prompt my people to press in. And as we press in, God begins to answer. I want to urge you, seize the moment. Pastors, leaders, seize the moment. Let's take hold of God. Let's pray. Let's ask Him, God, visit us. God, have mercy on us. God, touch us. God, shake us. God, start something fresh in me, in my house, in my life, in my congregation, in my neighborhood, in my city, in our nation. It's urgent, but it's not too late. I personally believe the greatest days of revival in America are yet ahead. And by His grace, I want to be right in the middle of it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Terry in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Terry. Terry's gone. Boy, I really like the comment that he had on our board here, but Matthew in Florida. Hey, Matthew, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about how amazing the Holy Spirit's timing is with all this, and I feel like I just have like a question about how I can minister to people about sexual immorality as a, yeah, as a 17-year-old mm-hmm. in a youth mm. group and stuff like that. But real quick, I just wanted to mention how, like, last night when we were, you know, watching the Super Bowl, and the moment when J-Lo was getting on the pole, we just basically changed the channel. And it was kind of just insane to see all of that. And to, you know, I'm going through a season of, like, really defining my sexuality under God and just saying, you know, this is what your word says, God, about sexual immorality. You say to abstain from sex until marriage, and you say that, you know, in ways that we have figured out that pornography is a bad thing, you know? So for me, just to gain that revelation as a teenager and to be free from all sexual immorality, because we're set free from sin, just the fact that I'm in that reality, you know, and I have freedom under God now, I yeah. really cry out in my generation for them to be free as well. And think, I saw that Sean Bowles post this morning about Bob Jones' prophecy, and he said, like, I liked how he worded it. He was, like, saying that he, you know, is not going to be 100% about it, but he's really excited about what he said. And I feel like I'm in the same way. I'm excited for the revival cry and heart cry for what God wants to pour out for this nation and for the sense of truth and how hard-hitting the truth is, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, stay right there. Thank God for your heart, your witness at the age of 17. I want to talk about how you can minister to your generation and get them to share your heart as well. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So, Matthew in Florida, what a great time to recognize what's right and what's wrong, what's healthy and unhealthy, what's holy and unholy.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of times when you're looking at the faith from the outside, you just see restrictions. Why can't we have fun? Yeah. Why is God so mean-spirited? Why all these laws? When you know the Lord, you realize that He made us, that He understands us, that He knows what's best for us. So one way to help your friends recognize the rightness and wrongness of things. So if you've got friends 16, 17, 18 years old, then many of them are going to have moms late 30s, early 40s, some around 50. So, you know, you could ask them, as I read Shakira's 43 and Jennifer Lopez 50, how'd you feel about your mom doing that? You know, or how'd you yeah. feel about your sister growing up to do that? How would that be cool? Or if you're a married man, right? If you're married, how would you feel about your wife doing that? So that suddenly it hits home more dramatically. I mean, oh, what a repulsive, unimaginable thought. And then in terms of keeping one's purity, I've seen this illustration used many a time, but you open up a can of soda and you pass it around the room, and everybody takes a sip from it, and a few of the people are sneezing and coughing as they're, you don't want it. It comes to you. I don't care how thirsty you are. It's like, nope, I don't want it. That's what happens when you have sex with this one, sex with that one, sex with that one. You can even ask, you know, isn't it interesting that survey after survey indicates that people that live together before they get married end up having a much higher divorce rate than the people that wait to be sexually involved until they're married? And then to say, you know, there are a lot of guys in their 20s now, they don't have sex at all because they lost their ability through porn. Or they're in their 20s, they have to use Viagra to perform, or they can't actually be with a woman unless there's porn on in the background. That it's anything but good, it's anything but godly. And then another thing to ask, Matthew, is if someone is doing something today that a year or two ago they said they never would have done. That's how it was with me in drugs. When I started getting high, I would have sworn in my own blood I would never shoot heroin. I mean, there's no possibility. There's no world I lived in that intersected with that world at all. And the idea that one thing led to another was completely preposterous. But of course, that's what happened. Smoking pot at 14, shooting heroin at 15. That's what happened in my own life. So I've asked people, are there things you're doing today that 2 years ago you're sure you never would have done? Maybe a girl that was just, she's going to kiss, but now she's, you know, having intercourse. Or a guy who just watched porn a little bit, but now he's into like real sicko, hardcore stuff or whatever. So, you know, you ask them, are there things you're sure today that you wouldn't ever do? And then they tell you, it's like, well, you probably are going to do those too. Because you were sure, you told me 2 years ago, you were sure you'd never do this and you're doing that and you're saying it's fine. In other words, get them to understand that sin leads to more sin, that sin leads to worse sin. And then you end up doing things that are embarrassing and ugly and you're not proud of. And I doubt that someone with a real porn problem and the type of stuff that they must indulge in or the hours they waste or the money they spend, I can't imagine a lot of them are proud of it or that they want the world to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you just, even if they don't give you the right answers, you tell them, you know, I just feel great when I go to sleep at night. My conscience is clean, you know, and, yeah. And I walk around. There are no skeletons in my closet and I'm not worried about, you know, my mom's going to find something on my computer or my cell phone. It just feels great. And I can look at girls and just talk to them and enjoy their company without constantly just thinking of going to bed with them and all this. And, yeah. You know, and enough kids, you know, your age, young people, young adults, there's enough inner conflict. There's enough loneliness, depression, suicide. Young people aren't cutting themselves because they're happy. So when you have something that does shine, and even if they don't agree with you, you'll be amazed how many come to you saying, hey, talk to me. Because I'm, you know, yes. Some guy that's the most popular guy in the school and has got another girlfriend every week. Don't be surprised when he comes to you and says, hey, Matthew, talk to me, man, because you have something I need. God's ways really do satisfy.
Discipleship.
Yeah. And yes. just keep being strong. And where you find, you know, a weakness in your life, hey, God's not out to kill you or hurt you. Just, Lord, I've struggled here. He'll give you grace. He'll give you help. And you'll find you can overcome.
Amen. I just wanted to say real quick, there's just nothing better than sowing into the Spirit every day and choosing the Spirit over the flesh. And my dad's here. I got to go.
Yeah,
so
well, awesome.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Matthew. Great call. Thank you for ministering to many other young people, young adults as well. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. When I was a new believer and started to meet with the Lord more and more and spend more and more time in His presence, I'd fall asleep at night so overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord, so overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. And I said to myself, if any of my friends could just walk in my shoes for one day, they'd never go back to their old ways. Just for one day, they'd never go back to their old ways. Let us go to Detroit. Gary, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
I'm glad I was able to get through to you. And first of all, I wanted to let you know that my wife and I have been listening to you for years and years and years and years. Many years.
Awesome. So, Thank you.
I'm kind of caught between two because I wanted to talk something about a little bit about the Super Bowl, but revival is the thing that I look for the most, and I live for the glory of God every day. I get up, I'm just waiting for the glory of God to come. I'm anticipating it. So anyhow, the thing about the Super Bowl, the halftime entertainment and all that, to me, it is, the question is why are you even involved with the worldly things? Because the Bible says not to be a friend of the world. You know, so to me, you know, why would I put myself in that situation in the first place? Because there needs to be a separation. And we know that as we go into this great outpouring of God's Spirit that's coming, that there has to be a separation between us, just like there was a distinction between the Jews in Egypt that were, that where they didn't get the plagues.
Yes,
sir. You know, the plagues didn't ever touch them. And so there has to be a separation. And so, you know, to me, that's my thought on that and understanding of that. And what do you think about that? And by the way, my wife and I, every time we run into something on YouTube that we don't have an answer to, we always look to you for the answers.
Ask Dr. Brown. Hey, by God's grace, we're doing our best to provide those answers. Thank you. And thank your wife as well. That means a lot to me and to our team. We work hard, but it's for these very reasons, to be there as a help and a resource. So thank you for those good words. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. You know, if some Christian guys are holding a Bible study in a strip joint and saying, these strippers, it's just terrible. It's like, well, why are you in a strip joint? I mean, an exaggerated picture, but to bring that point across. So either we don't watch certain things at all. We don't watch TV, or we don't watch the Super Bowl because of other things surrounding it. Or at the very least, we just turn off the halftime entertainment in the vast majority of cases in recent years. Again, you get a pretty idea of what's coming just by the people that are going to be involved. As I said earlier in the broadcast, do we think that J-Lo and Shakira were going to sing opera? You know, what were we expecting? Yeah, so look, separation is necessary. It's very, very simple. We come out of the world as far as sin is concerned. 2 Corinthians 6, 14-7:1 makes it explicitly clear that we're not unequally yoked together with unbelievers in terms of participating with the sin of the world. God says, come out from among them and be separate, and I will receive you. Be holy as I'm holy, Leviticus 19, quoted in 1 Peter 1. So that's foundational. And it is, but as you said right at the start, it's not just a coming out from, it's a coming to. It's not just a matter of saying, well, I'm not going to participate in this, but I'm going to meet with the Lord. I'm going to be with the Lord. That it is out of being with Him. My wife Nancy and I were talking about this earlier today, Gary, that by being with Him, by being in His presence, by spending protracted periods of time drinking in His Word, that we see His purity and we see His beauty and we see His holiness. And you know what it's like? You've probably seen this happen where someone gets saved that really looks worldly. I mean, they look and smell like the world. And maybe some gal that maybe she was abused younger and had her whole identity is now as being some sex object, and she's a broken person, and she walks around looking like a stripper, and that's her identity. And then she gets saved, and now she comes in normal clothes, but with an exceptional beauty and radiance. And you think, yeah, there's something beautiful that God wants to make of us, and all the other things are degrading. So it's not just the coming away. It's coming away because we know Him, because we love Him, because we want to please Him. And for everyone else listening and watching, and thank you, sir, for the call and for the kind words. If you recognize sin, pollution in your own life, if you recognize that you're falling short, if you recognize that bottom line, your life is displeasing to God or falls short of His holiness, of His standards, and you're feeling condemned and guilty, that's not a bad thing. It's good to recognize your guilt, but don't let it stop there. Jesus died for you. Jesus died to take every sin you've ever committed on His shoulders and to take them away that you can lead a new life. Cry out to Him today, God, have mercy on me. God, cleanse me. Wash me through the blood of Jesus and give me a new heart. I want to follow you. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Friends, cry out from your heart. He's faithful to save and to deliver.